And when God closes it, let's try not to push through it. And that's exactly what has happened in their lives. I don't know that Tim thought this door would close on him here, but it did. But God opened the new one. Amen. And that's the way the Lord works. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it fits perfectly with what the Lord gave me this morning, because I did not know, it's been about a month or so that Pastor asked me to bring a message today. And so what I was studying, did not know that this would work just perfectly with what's happening in their lives. And of course, in all of our lives. Because we're going to talk about opening the door. Amen? Opening the door. Now, I like to kind of illustrate sometimes. And so we all know that this is a door. And right now it's closed. Do I know what's on the other side of that door? I think I do, but I don't know for sure. Because I can't see, right? So what do I have to do? Open the door to see what's on the other side. And God wants us to know this morning that He has some doors that He wants us to open. And there are doors that He has closed that He does not want us to reopen. Amen. So before we get into the message, let's pray. Father God, we thank You, Lord, that You have given us this time and this opportunity to minister Your word this morning. And we ask You, Father God, as we prepare our hearts, that we would all receive, Lord God, what You have for us, and that Your word will be fulfilled in our lives this morning, that we would walk in the newness of life that You've given to us. For even as this is a new day, and this is the day that You've made, and we rejoice and are glad in it, You've made this day for us to know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And You've made this day to let us know that Your faithfulness is there every morning. Your mercies are new every morning. Your truth is there for us to guide us and lead us every step of the way. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody says, in Jesus' name. Okay, I guess I am not used to this, so the kids can be going to Sunday school now. How did I know I was going to miss something? Praise God. God is good. Amen. There is a scripture that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9. It says, "For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." A great and effective door has opened to me. Now, God is the door opener. In fact, Jesus said, "I am the door." So He opens those doors and He closes those doors. But in this verse, He's saying, that He has opened a great and effective door. But how many of us know that when there is a door opened and we don't know what's on the other side, we can always expect the enemy of our souls to show up with something that will want to make us close that door. Because he will instill fear. He will bring doubt. He will bring something that will tell us, no, you shouldn't go through that door. What if? And I want to tell you this morning that we need to get rid of the what ifs in our lives. Now, I don't know what's on the other side of that door, but what if there's something there that's bad for me? What if there's danger? What if there's something lurking out there that, you know, doors are made to open and close, but how many of us knows that when we close our doors at night, we feel safe? Because the door is closed and locked, right? And we don't somebody or nobody should be able to get in. But if we leave the door wide open, anything can come in. Right? So we need to know that when God says, I've opened the door for you, but yes, there's a lot of enemies out there. There's enemies out there that are going to come against you. Don't be afraid to leave the door open because I'm with you. And those enemies that are going to try to bring doubt and fear into your life and cause you to think, what if? What if I do open that door and leave it open? What if this and that happens? What if? Well, the what if, the word, what, the phrase what if is a doubt. It's a phrase of doubt. What if? Well, let's turn that around and say, well, what if God has something greater for me? What if God has something that is a blessing for me? And I'm here closing the door because I'm afraid. What if? What if God has a plan for our life and a purpose and a destiny for us to fulfill, and we're here trying to close the door because we are afraid of what might be next? God says, I've opened the door, and you're going to have adversaries. So, you know, when God opens the door, it's not always easy to walk through it. But if God is the door opener, we must walk through it. And sometimes that involves things in our lives, changes in our lives, that we do not always understand because it's the unknown. We don't know the future, but we do know the one who holds the future. We don't know what's next, but we do know that God has a plan and a purpose in everything. When we decide that all those enemies, all those obstacles, all those things in our way will are in the hands, everything is in the hands of God. So if God tells me tomorrow, and he speaks to my heart, and I've opened the door of my heart and let him in, and he tells me, tomorrow you are going to pack up and leave for Tucson, Arizona. Tomorrow you're going to pack up and leave for Denver, Colorado. Tomorrow you're going to become a missionary to Africa. Tomorrow you're going to go here and you're going to go there and you're going to go do this and you're going to leave your comfort zone. You're going to leave your familiar surroundings, but it's the door that God is opening. And there's a enemy that will tell you that's not true. Why do you believe? Do you know what's going to happen if you just pick up and go? Do you know how much you're going to lose? Do you know how much could go wrong? What if it, what if it doesn't work? I want to challenge you this morning to get rid of the what ifs and just walk through the door that God says to walk through. You see, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, it says, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength. You have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. Now, it doesn't take, the Bible tells us about faith being as small as a mustard seed. So it doesn't take much to believe and trust that the door that God is opening is the one that we need to go through. Because we have a little strength. As long as we keep his word and do not deny his name. Revelation 3:20, a few verses down, says, this is Jesus saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. The ultimate goal of Jesus opening the door for us is to have fellowship with us and to be close to us, to be our companion in everyday life, our friend, our everything, our healer, our deliverer, Our the giver of our strength, whatever we need, and God opens the door And God says, I'm here, I'm knocking at your door, open it. He's saying, trust me. That's all he's saying to us. Trust me. Trust me when I open the door. Trust me when I close the door. Trust me when things sound different and things are changing and things are going haywire and we don't understand. He is saying, trust me. I'm the door opener and I'm the door closer. So trust me. Now there's a man in the Bible that we're going to look at that had some doors that kept closing on him. He had some obstacles. He had some enemies. And he faced a lot of things, but because he opened the door of his heart to God, all those obstacles and all those enemies were overcome. We find this story in the book of Acts chapter 8. And I'm not going to read the whole story, but it's Acts chapter 8 verses 26 to 39. But let me just touch on a few things here. Acts chapter 8 verses 26 to 39. There's this man that is known as the Ethiopian eunuch in the Bible. And actually we look at verse 27. It says, there was a man of Ethiopia, excuse me, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning. Now this man, let me tell you why he had obstacles and why he had to open the door of his heart. First of all, he was an Ethiopian. So he was not he was of a different race. He may or may not have felt that discrimination against him. But as he went to Jerusalem, people probably looked at him, you know, and say, you're not from here. You're of a different country. You don't belong here. The obstacle of racism was present in his life because he was from Ethiopia. He was an African. And so he had to overcome that obstacle. But he did it by opening the door of his heart. We hear a lot of that going on today in the world that we live in. And you know, if people's door would open the door of their hearts and let Jesus in, all of that would vanish. We need to open the doors of our heart, if we have not done so already, and know that when Jesus comes in and dines with us, it doesn't matter who we are or what race we come from or where we're going. It matters that He is the one we're seeking. He's the one we're opening the door of our heart to. When we close the doors of our heart, this is the result. If he had closed the door of his heart by saying, well, they don't like me. I'm a different race, so I don't think they'll like me. I don't think they'll appreciate me. I don't think they'll want to talk to me or whatever. And all these enemies come against him. All this doubt and this fear comes on him. He would never have experienced what he's about to experience. But God is saying, open the door of your heart. And he opened the door of his heart. Culture was another obstacle. He was from a different culture. In Ethiopia, it was not like Israel, it was not like Jerusalem, it was not like other places that we read of in the Bible. It was a different country. They did things different. So that was an obstacle that he had to overcome. His upbringing, from the fact that it tells us that he was a eunuch, that would tell us that when he was a little boy, he was probably taken away from his family, separated from his family, made a slave, and had to fight through that. And it kind of reminds me of the story of Joseph, who was taken as a slave into Egypt, and he had to overcome all of that to get to where he ended up being because he opened the door of his heart to God and did not let the enemy that had was trying to bring doubt and fear and close that door, did not let the enemy do that to him because he had opened the door of his heart to God. See, when we open the door of our heart to God, obstacles can be overcome. And so this man faced these obstacles, separation from family, his upbringing. But yet he had gotten to a point where it tells us there that he was in charge of all the treasury of Ethiopia. He was in charge of the money. How would you like to be in charge of the money of Ethiopia? I'm not in charge of the money, by the way, just in case you're wondering. Anyways, what he was doing was, let's continue here. He's sitting in his chariot in verse 28. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Now let's jump down a little bit. How is he reading and what is he reading? Well, if he's reading Isaiah the prophet, he has to have a scroll. Now, in those days, you did not just go to your local Bible bookstore and buy a scroll. The scrolls, especially God's Word, to have one, it was very expensive. It was a very expensive thing to own. The only ones who really had them were the scribes, the Pharisees, and the religious leaders. Your everyday person did not have the Word of God. But this man had it because he was in charge of the treasury. So God had taken that door and opened it for him. As he opened the door of his heart, a door was opened for him to be in charge of the treasury. And because he was overcoming all these other obstacles to find God, now he was reading the Word of God. He had something to believe in. And God's Word was becoming real to him. And so he overcame that obstacle. But there's another obstacle. Because as he was reading, it says, Philip came up to the chariot and he tells him in verse 30, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he says, "How can I unless someone guides me?" So look at all these obstacles. Look at all these enemies. Look at all these things that could bring doubt and fear and cause him not to open the door to God. His race, his culture, his upbringing, separation from his family. But now here he is in a position to even have God's word. But he can't understand it. He doesn't know what it means. And the passage that he was reading from the book of Isaiah, which says in verse 32 to 33, was reading that he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shears is silent. So he opened not his mouth, and he's reading the story of Jesus there as he's being taken to the cross. And so he asked the question of Philip. And of course, Philip being led by the Holy Spirit to be there at that moment, he says to him in verse 34, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or some other man?" What's he talking about? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. The door of the word was opened to him. And he began to hear and understand as he listened to Philip explain what the scripture was saying. I can just see this man's face changing, his emotions getting a hold of him as he says, "You know what? All these things that I have faced in my life, and I have come to a point where I've had to overcome all of these things, and here I am, and I can't understand what I'm reading, but here's someone explaining it to me. Now I see." Just like the song says, "I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found." He has just found another door to open. Jesus is now knocking at this door and he says, "Come in. Because I understand now what Jesus is, who Jesus is, and what Jesus has done." And as they are going down the road, they come to some water. It says in verse 36. And he says, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Now, you got to understand, when it says here he comes to some water, he didn't come to a big, huge lake. He didn't even maybe come to a river. It's been believed that he came to just a pond that was there that might even have been created by the rain. It was not something special. It was not something great. It was just a very simple piece of water that was there. And he didn't want to wait. And he says, what hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, how many of you can say that with me this morning? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When you say that, you're opening the door of your heart to God and saying, I want you to come in. I want you to come in. Now I want you to take notice of something here. They went down into the water and he baptized them. When they came out of the water, all of a sudden Philip was not there. And he didn't see him anymore. But the last part of verse 38 says this. He went on his way, rejoicing. He went on his way, rejoicing. He did not allow any obstacle, any enemy, to stop him, because he originally opened the door of his heart way back, who knows when, and he wanted God in his life. That's why he went to Jerusalem to worship. That's why he was reading the scroll. He was seeking. If we seek, we shall find. Amen? If we seek, we shall find. And I want you to go to this scripture here with me, Isaiah 56, verse 3, because this man being a eunuch, that was a detriment to his life in that he couldn't have children. And sometimes, you know, when you think about it, that's pretty heavy, knowing that you can't have children. And in verse 3 of chapter 56 of Isaiah, it says, do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, here I am, a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Let's understand this man's obstacles, his need for God, and the way God opened the door, and the way he went through the door and accepted him. And now the blessing of God's word becomes real to him. He's not an outcast. He's accepted into the family of God. And this is very, very real to him now. And you see, I want to talk for a little bit about what it says there when it says that the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord says, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Do not let him say that. That's closing the door when you say that. There is a separation that is trying to happen in this world today. Separation between people. Separation between races. Separation between people for different reasons. But you know, God's word tells us that we are one. Jesus made the prayer in John 17 where he said, I wish they would be as one, even as we are one. Because we are one body. There's one blood. Did you know there's one blood that flows through all our veins? The blood of Jesus. It's not a certain type. It's not type A or type O or type whatever that makes us different. When it comes to being a member of the family of God and calling ourselves sons and daughters of God, we are one blood. We are one blood. We are one. We have one spirit. We have one love. We have one voice. We have one heart. We have one mission. We have one God. There's so many ways we could separate. When we close the door, what are we doing? Separating ourselves from where we are to what's on the other side of the door. And we cut ourselves off from possibly the blessing of the Lord. When we close the door, when He's saying, open the door, and we close the door because of doubt and fear, we're no longer one, you see. We need to unite into our understanding because the enemy has so many options to infiltrate and to block the door and to create obstacles. He wants to do that. The enemy of our souls would like nothing better than to block the door and cause us to lose hope and say, well, I guess I can't go out. I can't open this door. It's blocked. Doubt, fear. Have you ever thought about when the Bible talks about the full armor of God and we putting on the full armor of God? All those things that it mentions there are things that God gives us when we open the door of our hearts to Him. And now we have faith. We have salvation. We have righteousness. We have truth. We have the gospel of peace. Because we've opened the door. We have all those things to protect us now from the enemy. So we can trust the Lord when we open the door and not be afraid and not be doubtful. But see, we need to, that's why I believe there's a way that we can stay in faith and trust in God. If we choose to see the way, the door that Jesus is, that He wants us to open, then we go through that door. I want to challenge you this morning to open the door of your heart. Because even as Christians, sometimes we may have opened the door to Jesus at one time and let Him in. But sometimes we actually put Him out and close the door behind us. And we don't want Him to come back in. We do that when we doubt, when we have fear, when things happen and we kind of feel depressed or sad or whatever it is. Whatever happens in our lives that the enemy brings, and we choose to close the door instead of opening and say, Jesus, come and help me. And you might think, well, I would never do that. But you know what? People do that. People do that. This is why, like I said, we have so many. One of the things that I've always harped on is that we have so many denominations and different styles of belief and worship. And yet, and because of that, there's this separation that does not bring us all, as we call ourselves Christians, into the unity that we should have. And I want to reemphasize that we are one blood. Una sola sangre. One blood. I said that in Spanish because there's a song by that name. If you have a chance to listen to it, it's good. We are one blood. We are one blood. So, let us not say that our obstacles for us, our obstacles that are in front of us are too big for us. Let us not say that the doubt and the fear that the enemy is casting into our life is too strong for us. Instead, let us rise up and say like this eunuch, I choose God, and I choose to open the door of my heart to God. And when I do that, there will be no more what ifs. Because I'm just going to go with what God wants. In Psalm 24, it tells us about the door is opening and the King of Glory is going to come in through that door. In fact, let's just read that. Psalm 24, verse 7. It says, "Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in." Now, who is this King of Glory? Who is coming through the door? When we open the door of our heart to God, who's coming through the door? And who is Jesus? It tells us here. He's the King of Glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Who is this King of Glory? Who is this King of Glory that we're letting into the door of our heart? Can He make the necessary changes in our life to help us to trust Him and walk by faith and go through the doors and believe that He is everything to us? Did you know that? Let me just ask you something right now. I don't know why, but who needs a healing in here? Who needs a healing? Now, I would venture to say we all need a healing in one way or another. But who wants a healing? Who wants a healing? Who is the medicine? Jesus is the medicine. Jesus is the medicine for the world. He's the medicine for the strife that the society that we see is happening around us. He's the medicine for all those people in all over the world who, like in India where they worship 300 million gods, He's the medicine. He's the medicine for the world. Open the door of your heart and the King of Glory will come in and He will dine with you and you with Him. And what does He bring with Him? He brings healing. He brings deliverance. He brings strength. He brings comfort. He brings truth. He brings peace. He brings joy. He brings love. Can we go on and on with all the wonderful and amazing gifts that Jesus has? That the Bible tells us He has so many gifts for us. He has so many good things for us. We sang about the goodness of God. Is God good or what? Is He the King of Glory? Is He the healer? Is He the deliverer? See, He is the King of Glory. That's who we're letting in through the door. We're not opening the door to some stranger or somebody that can't help us. We're opening the door to the King of Glory, who is strong in battle and mighty, who is able to overcome, who is able to heal. If He can take a man who was born into a family, separated from his family, turned into a eunuch, and so made a slave of a different race, of a different culture, couldn't understand God's word, didn't know what he was reading, and he can take that individual and walk into the door of his heart because he opened the door and make him go on his way rejoicing. What can he do for any of us? Because he's no respecter of persons. Who is God this morning to you? Have you opened the door of your heart to God? I mean, wide open. How many of you know that when you open this door, I can open it just a little bit, kind of take a peek outside, right? And see what's out there. But I can close it right back. I'm not opening it all the way. But God says, I want you to open the door of your heart. All the way open. Let me in. Watch what I can do with your life. Watch what I can do in your life. See what who I am. I'm the King of Glory. My presence will now be with you. I will dine with you. I will sit with you. I will have fellowship with you. I will be your God and you will be my son or my daughter. And I will be with you forever and ever. Jesus is the medicine for the world. In the book of Daniel chapter 3, we read the story of the three Hebrew men who were thrown into the furnace of fire. And that's a familiar story to us, but can I share something with you that the Lord revealed recently? And that is, they were thrown into a fire. Now, what happens when you get thrown into a fire or when you put anything in a fire? It gets burned. It gets consumed. It gets destroyed. Well, they were thrown into a natural fire. But God turned that fire into a supernatural fire. And you know what happens? The natural fire destroys, but the supernatural fire brings life. The supernatural fire of God is what that fire was turned into. Because Jesus was there in the midst of them. Because they had opened the door of their heart to God at some point in their life. And they had made Him God of their life. And so when they had to make a decision and they had to go through a door that said, if you walk through that door, you will be burned in the fire. That's what the king told him. If you decide that you don't want to worship me, then I'm going to throw you into the fire. And you're going to walk into that door, that furnace, the door of that furnace, and you'll be burned, you'll be destroyed. But when you walk into where God wants you to walk in, He can turn what looks like destruction into life. That's what He did for them. It became a supernatural fire that was probably even pleasant to walk in for those three men. Because He was there with them. They were all walking in the fire. What does the Bible tell us about the fire? When you go through the fire, you will not be burned. See, it's all about opening the door. When we open the door, supernatural things are going to happen. The King of Glory is going to come in and supernatural things are going to happen. Do we need I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. If you want a healing this morning, I'm going to ask Brother Richard to come up. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Whoever can, we're going to sing this song again. And we're going to ask that God brings a healing this morning. Because He is still the hope of the world. Amen? He is still in the business of healing. Open the door of your heart and you will receive what God has for you. Amen?
This morning, if there's anybody that needs healing in their body, if you would come up, we'd be glad to pray for you. But Amen. Before we do that, I want to read a scripture. How many have confidence in the Father God?
Goodness of God.
Confidence.
Goodness of God.
And trust that He will meet your needs and He will touch you. Because He's a loving Father. How many believe that He's a loving Father? I mean, I do. He's loving. He's loving toward me. Hallelujah. This is in Romans 8, 31. What shall we say about such wonderful things as this? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since He did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. Won't He also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us of whom God has chosen for His very own? No one, for God Himself has given us right standing with Himself. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. and he is seated at the right place at honor of God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Can anything? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scripture says, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things overwhelming, victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Amen? Hallelujah. So if there's anybody that needs prayer this morning, we'd like for you to come up and we will pray for you. If there's anybody that feels like they need.
Thank you. I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, and I will sing of the goodness of God. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkness night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after me, Lord. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yeah, I'll sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God.